Hey guys, welcome to Game Chat. This is September the 10th of 2019. We are talking about, I was hearing some echo there for a couple of minutes, but we're fine now. September the 10th, 2019. Well, we are talking about Heartbound, which is actually just in early access right now. It was first released back in December 2018, developed and published by Pirate Software, and it's available on PC and Mac. And again, we are the video book club on the video game book club on the internet. That's us, Game Chat. I'm so awkward this evening. I'm so sorry. For the recordings, we always go into intros, so anyone listening knows who you're listening to, or at least has an idea. And our intro question this week is, how many pairs of socks do you own? Of course, I don't expect you to, like, stop what you're doing, recalibrate, and listen, and try to count all of your pairs of socks. But, just a guesstimate of how many pairs you think you own. And no shame, if you only own 5, that's totally fine. That's probably all you need. If you own like 80, you might have a problem, but that's fine too. So we'll start at the top, per usual.
This is Franco, and I will go with more than 6 pairs.
Wow, okay, all right.
I can't confirm or resist or deny the existence of anything beyond 6.
Okay, cool. And
this is Madeline. I have like 12 pair of compression socks for work, probably like 20 pair of little footy socks, and then probably like 35 pair of like novelty Christmas fuzzy socks.
Nice.
I have a lot of socks.
Your priorities are in the right place with the with the ratios. I mean. Next.
Hi, this is Kevin, and I have probably at least 30 pairs of socks. Okay. Whether they be ankle socks or slight compression. Like ankle socks, or slight compression ankle socks, or like high socks.
Cool.
Are somewhat novelty, but they're more of just like funky colored. Like some of them have skulls on it and stuff.
Cool. Great. Thank you. Next.
This is Chris, and I would say probably somewhere in the 30s, but of that, I probably only use like 22 of them.
Okay. Yeah.
Just because I have some black socks that are kind of strewn about that I don't really use because they're not very comfortable.
I understand that. I have some socks that I'm just like, I keep around and they're not very comfortable. But anyways, this is Steph. I would say probably around 30 or a little bit above that as well. A couple of my favorites, I know I didn't mention this, but a couple of my favorites are, I have a pair of Dragon Age like high socks that has the Grey Wardens symbol on them. They're dark blue. And then I also have a pair of socks that have toes like individualized. Now, I had some of these, like, this is story time. I had a couple of these a couple of years ago. And I loved them, but I somehow lost them. Or like, let's say 5 or 6 years ago. And I somehow lost them. And so I rebought some this past summer at a little Japanese shop in Seattle. And I don't know, something weird has happened. Either these are made really strange. Like maybe they're made for smaller feet, but the toes don't like stay on my toes. Like they come off really easily. And so it's just a huge frustration and a disappointment for me. So that's my disappointing story of the evening. Anyways. So again, we're talking about Heartbound by Pirate Software. And again, for those listening, I will stress that this is an early access game. So we're not scoring it tonight. But we do, or at least I do, plan on putting it back in the schedule whenever it's fully released. So that way we can like have a nice little update and just talk about the game fully. And then we will score whenever that happens. Right now the game is about, I would say, a little less than halfway done.
At least with what's released.
Yeah, with what's released, correct. But the developers are still working hard. They do, and I'll just go ahead and say this, they do, they stream almost daily on Twitch, at, I have this down somewhere, Go Pirate Software, on Twitch. So if you just search for that, you can watch them work on their games every evening. They mostly work on Heartbound, but they're also working, that one night a week they work on an unreleased game called Shoot the Moon, I think. Mm-hmm. I was watching a bit of that last night, and extremely nice set of people, and a very, you know, kind of like chill stream to watch, and very interesting if you're not, I mean, maybe if also you're into developing games, but even if you're not, like, it's still interesting to see kind of like the backside of things. So yeah, check them out. And yeah. So a little synopsis of Heartbound. It's a role-playing video game developed by, of course, Pirate Software. The game centers around a boy who deals with depression, anxiety, and fear as he embarks on a journey through different locations in search of his dog, Baron. Yeah. So, starting out, you start off in your home, I believe. Don't you start off with a nightmare? Aren't you having a dream?
Mm-hmm.
It's been a whole 24 hours since I played this.
I think so. Do you wake up in bed and don't want to get out of bed?
Yes, yeah. Correct. So you play as Lore, which is a very cool name. I'm just kind of like, I really like that. And it's kind of, it's a, you know, it's a very, what do you call it, a pixelated game. It's not 8-bit, 16-bit? I don't know. I don't know my bits anymore. But
from To the Moon and that type of stuff.
Yes, correct.
And I kind of almost want to say it's it has Undertale tones, but with more detailed graphics.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I agree. So what, how did you feel about, you know, what were your thoughts on how the game started out? Did you feel immersed into the world? What did you think about it in the first, like, say, 20 minutes?
I feel like it didn't give you enough to kind of get a grasp of the character, and like kind of everything going on with war, like at least normal world.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like echoes of Awesome Adventures of Captain Spirit in the first half.
Mm-hmm.
Which I don't know what order stuff was developed in, but
yeah, I was surprised about the I don't know. It was very heavy from the get-go to me. Like very heavy in just in its theme. And because right away your character already seems like very jaded, I guess. Very kind of like, eh, you know, like kind of not caring. Yeah, disassociated maybe. But then you got into the hallway. And I think Baron says something like, well, maybe he's not awake. And then someone opens the door. And it's kind of like taken that that's the father figure or some sort of guardian of the house. He just kind of like talks about the trash being in the kitchen and that you need to take it out. And like things start, it starts off very early with the like text will show up on the screen. You know, because it's a text-based game, just like something like Raccoon or Undertale, and the text will change in some cases, like almost like you're, And I couldn't really, and maybe you guys have thoughts on that. Like, I couldn't really tell if I was supposed to be like, okay, well, this is what he wants to hear, or this is what he should be hearing. But instead, it's changing. It changes to something bad. And I had trouble, I guess, differentiating like what was what, like which one was supposed to be like real and which one wasn't, and maybe that was the point.
Mm.
What did you guys think?
It was hard. Like, I feel like we don't have enough information yet for this game, because I feel like what it feels like is there's a buildup, there's this like foreshadowing of duality or something else going on, and then eventually at some point in the game there is a reconciliation where face the true self or the dark self or whatever. And I didn't feel like I ever got any resolution or anything so far. Like that. At least, yeah, so far.
Right.
Which it may be just because of my decisions, but I really didn't feel like there was anything like that at all in the, I guess, the second level, in the tower level. So...
yeah,
but I know, apparently I made different decisions than some other people that I read about on Steam. So,
oh boy,
I could have just completely bypassed it.
Interesting. How did you guys feel about the controls, at least beginning the game? Fairly simple.
They kind of throw it at you, and you don't always understand what's going on. Like, the interacting with the world was fine. It was more of the boss battle stuff.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah. So, I mean, yeah, we can bring that up along with the controls. You have... I mean, we can go back and talk about other stuff that happened in between, like, that happened up until this point. But you kind of, like, run into your first kind of, like, battle outside, which is against this kind of, like, monster that's kind of, like... supposedly might have taken your dog Baron, or at least that's what you're kind of that's what you think up to this, you know, that's what you're that's the information you've been given so far, is that, you know, something took your dog in the middle of the night, you know, like when you went back to sleep after taking out the trash, you wake up, your dog's gone. So you and there's a bunch of scratches everywhere. At first I was really afraid that the dad did something. Like, I was like, oh no. I was like, this got serious really quickly. But you kind of follow the scratches outside, and and then there's a bunch of trees cut down, and you kind of run into this monster and have to fight it. And that's what Kevin is talking about, in that there were kind of several mechanics thrown into the battle all at once, and it kind of cycled through them. You click to kind of like wipe away some like boulders, as you know, before they hit you. If you've played Undertale, it's kind of similar to that. Very similar, kind of, you know, for the most part. Yes, Chris.
You can use your mouse. You're not completely
right
stuck to your keyboard.
Right. Correct. Absolutely.
Well, for some of the mini games, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. How did you guys like that? So, Kevin, you found that to be frustrating, that it kind of cycled through different things?
I found some of them, like, the instructions for some of them a little bit confusing. I didn't get at first until, like, the second time it came around, the one where you had to stop it at a specific point because the gauge of the axe was moving up and down. Because they put it on the outside
of the
interactive page. And I'm like, what?
Yeah, I was getting really confused on, because it's like I had no idea what was going on. Because I was so focused on that box. I didn't see that there was something popping out of the screen.
Yeah.
That I had to be looking at. The other thing, too, was... what was the other one? I think just it was kind of jarring to go when you had to, the two keys to move back and forth, where you had to jump between either swinging the axe to play the pong thing to hit the thing back and forth, or to actually move so you weren't hit by the laser beam or struck by the arm.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Those were two that I was finding hard to have to switch between the two when playing the game.
So, like, when you would see, like, it, your mind had a hard time, like, differentiating, like, which one you were supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because, you know, it's like, all right.
It looks similar.
I'm moving back and forth. It's like, okay, now I'm stationary. But then it was like, but then it's like I have to move back and forth. And now I'm being hit by the laser.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just like my reaction times were off because of that. Just
having got it.
Having my mind switch between the things there. So, yeah.
Yeah, the only one that I had a problem with was the heart one, as Kevin mentioned. One, you agreed as well, Chris, that it's just because it kind of popped up to the side and you're so focused on, like, you know, the box where lore and the creature is that you're just like, I don't, like, you know, what am I supposed to be doing here? But I caught on after the first time. And I kind of, like, wonder if, and I don't know this for sure, but I kind of wonder if that's, like, because there for a couple of seconds, like, after that first battle, I was like, wow, they didn't even, like, really, like, it did kind of say, like, move left or right, but I still felt like there wasn't any instruction for the most part. But I kind of wonder if that was the whole point, to kind of just throw you in there and throw all these different things at you. But then I kind of wish that with the battles that it would have stuck to maybe three things instead of, like, I think there was, what, five? Because yeah. you had the Simon Says, you had the axe, you had the, like, destroying the rocks before they hit you, the heart thing, and dodging the laser. So yes, there were five. So I kind of think it might have been better if they would have stuck to just three. But then I kind of also wonder if they did five maybe to kind of be like, they want it to be overwhelming for you. Mm-hmm. Because at the time, lore is very overwhelmed. But again, we don't really know.
For maybe the very first one, because even then, your health is going down significantly while the monster's is not even moving.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the second time around, stick to, like, three.
Yeah, yeah.
And as you progress, like, add more in.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing, too, was when you're... It was just so overwhelming to have five and then throw in a memory game.
I failed at the Simon Says thing, like...
Aww.
75% of the time.
Increasingly got more complex as time went on.
Yeah.
The boulder thing got really annoying at the end, because it's like, yeah, we're going to just go and throw them at you at, like, light speed, so you're going to go and get hit, like, at least twice, because you can't click these fast enough.
Yeah.
You can, I did, but understandable.
You can, but I had to do, so the first battle, if you lose, then what's his face shows up, right? But then the second battle, you have to defeat them or you can't progress.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
Yeah. I think I had to do the second battle probably six times.
Wow.
Yeah.
Ouch.
Now, the second battle, are you talking about that's the second time that you fight the creature?
Yeah, yes. We're in the cave there.
See, okay. That was interesting because I thought you literally had to lose on that battle. Because I didn't do a killing blow. I let it hit me. And then I was unconscious and I woke up.
Oh, there was,
Because, like, I let it go. I went for a long, like, I don't know. Like, we were just battling for a while. And then.
Mm-hmm. Right. Then you get it down to, like, essentially zero. But then you still have, like, one more hit or opportunity for a hit after that.
I let it hit me because the creature was saying, that was when it started saying weird things, right? Like mm-hmm. things that were yeah. making Lore confused. So, yes. and Lore started saying, I don't want to do this. And so I let it hit me. And then he was unconscious.
You, congrats for choosing the high road, I guess.
Yeah. I don't remember exactly
because I had been fried so many times. I was just like, nope, we're finally doing. We're done. We're done. We're not risking it.
Throw an axe in its eyeball.
Yeah.
Because I think like it went, gosh, I'm trying to think of what happened next. Oh yeah, I think I was knocked down. And then I think like I was on the ground. The creature was like, it went back to like the map, you know, where you could see yourself and the creature and like the world around you. Map view, I guess I'll call it. And so Lore was laying down, the creature was about to fire again, and then the guy showed up and got in between us.
Oh, so you got saved twice?
No, I got saved once.
Wait, but the
last time.
The second time.
Yeah.
When the creature, so for me, I did the final blow and then the creature disappeared, and then Baron was laying on the ground, presumably dead.
Yeah.
Or very, very injured, either way.
I'm probably just getting my instances mixed up, but I know I did not do the final blow.
Okay.
Okay. But yeah, I originally thought that the creature was supposed to be the dad when they started talking about how if you go and read all the books, or at least most of them, they talk about how I forget what it was, but basically the anomalies end up changing some part of a world.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when the life, you know, light guardians are able to go and like intervene. So I eventually then figured out ahead of time that Baron was the corrupted monster.
Yeah, I'm not. Yeah. And then I didn't figure that out earlier. It wasn't until later when things happen. Because, you know, they basically say it at the end of the first level or second level, at the end of the second level, mm-hmm. When you're in the offices. They basically tell you that, and I was not really aware. Yeah, so we've already talked about combat. So I guess with the you had several little mini games throughout the first and second level. And for those listening, the second level was an office building. I don't know the exact title of that area. Anyways, but yeah, so it's an office building for the most part, where you have to do little jobs. How did you guys like the minigames? Did you guys have a favorite minigame in the first two levels? I really liked finding the ducks. Although I had to look up how to find the last one because I looked everywhere. And the crazy thing was that, and this was in the office building, and there were a bunch of like different cubicles. OMG, I love the people in the cubicles at the office. But we can talk about that later. But I had already talked to everyone, looked in all their drawers, and then I have to find these ducks. And I'm like, am I? I freaking went back around and looked in everyone's drawer again.
No.
But none of them were in the drawers.
None of the ducks were in the drawers.
Nope, they weren't, because I was trying to find the last duck. I went in all the places that I'd already been in. And then I think, gosh, where was – oh, it was in the one last room that I didn't go in, which was the conference room. Mm-hmm. It was the one under the table, like – peeking out. But yeah. I really liked that one.
Yeah, I will say that That is not a proper representation of IT work at all.
Just,
well, you don't have weird, you don't have weird bird cameras flying back and forth.
No.
But you do have server rooms.
Yeah, server rooms, but it's not just all a bunch of blinky lights and everything.
Almost.
You know,
it's also maybe, a billion degrees maybe just, in there.
Maybe just not so many.
There's a natural purpose behind those blinking lights.
There might be here too. And there's not a heart in the in one room. Did you guys find the heart in like the big server room? The huge one?
I don't think so.
Like human heart?
Well, it was, I'm guessing it was something like saying that like these servers are like the heart of this the heart of everything that goes, because it was this huge room. It was right off of the conference room. Like you went, instead of going back from the conference room after he tells you, hey, like, I don't remember what it was, like second row on the left, you know, mm-hmm. come and meet me. If you didn't go back and you went through that door instead, you went up went down a flight of stairs, and it was just this, like, it was like the server room that you did find, you know, with the duck guy, times like five, just huge. And it had different little sets of like servers, and they were all kind of like numbered differently, or some of them had letters, like server, like you know, tower 6, tower 5, tower 4, tower B. Just this whole room, and right in the middle was a heart. There was nothing in that room, you know, that you could do. But
I'm wondering if somebody had said on their Steam chats about how to find the secret room or secret level 0 or whatever. So
That
might be it.
That might be it. It was interesting. As I said, there was really nothing in there. Although I looked at everything in this game completely, entirely. but yeah. Anyone else have any fun, you know, any favorite mini games that you enjoyed?
I liked the mailroom because it took me probably like 2 or 3 minutes of stamping letters to realize that it would still stamp letters if I wasn't pushing the button. Yep.
Me too. Me too, Madeline. Me too.
You were not alone. Oh, cool. I can take a break and just watch. That's fine.
Yeah. Yeah, you were not alone. Like, I just kept, like, pressing the button. And I was like, and then I had to, like, start. You have to, because it has text on the screen. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, wow. Like, I had to, like, split my concentration here. You know? Yeah. No, me too. Hashtag me too. Yeah. And then also, like, so there was something interesting with one of the mini games. It was right when you first enter. I think it's right when you first enter the office building, like the first room that you're in. You have to find your way out. And so you have to solve the numbers on the computer.
Mm-hmm.
There was something interesting in that, like, you could either solve the equation, or like, well, I mean, not the equation, but you could either like solve like what numbers, because there were different notes around the room telling you like, the second number is the lowest, blah, 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 or something like that. Or it also left a note that, or you could just type in 1 7 times, which I thought was interesting that it was like, hey, we have this fun number problem for you. But also, if you don't want to solve it, because I was honestly about ready to look it up because I seriously could not figure it out. And it was like, you know, if you don't want to solve it, like, you can just do this. And it's super easy. Yeah. What did you guys know about that? And how did you like having kind of like a fail safe in the mini game, in that like, if you were just wanting to get to the next area, here you go.
I read the thing before I found the number pad.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I found the number pad, I was like, surely that 7 1s wasn't talking about this, but that's mm-hmm. the only thing I remember from the riddle. So I just put it in, and then the door opened, and there I was like, okay, well, I don't even have to think about it anymore. Easy, so.
Did anyone solve this? Did anyone solve the numbers?
I solved it. I had double checked, or I had checked though in the like achievement guide to make sure that what I picked or whatever, or what I thought the numbers were correct. But yeah, I solved it.
Cool. That's awesome. I tried it a couple. I tried it like three times, and I tried writing down the numbers. I had a couple of options for a couple of them, but then like, I was like, yeah, okay, this doesn't work. Chris, did you solve the number minigame?
No, I just
yeah,
because I was looking at it and I'm like, okay, this is kind of starting to make some sense.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm like, and then I see like this, the 7-1. So I was like, is this a trick question? And it's like, is there really a puzzle here to solve, or is it just the ones, the 7-1s? So I went and I'm like, all right, I'll try the 7-1s, and the door opened, and I was like, all right, then I'll just go with that then.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, I personally really enjoyed that it kind of gave you that kind of like feels, because like there are several times, as you guys know, that like, you know, I just with game chat games, like there's sometimes if I have to think too hard about it, you know, I just look it up, because, you know, usually I'm pressed for time, and I just, you know, I need to get to like, I'm just like, I just want to get to the story part, you know, this. Solving this problem isn't important to me. Like, I'm not worried about achievements. I'm not, you know, I just want to get to the next, in, you know, interesting thing.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so I appreciated that. And then also, like, if you're just not interested, like, or, you know, if you're not, like, you're just like, oh, I hate number puzzles, then you can still enjoy it and not, like, sit there and be like, arr! Yeah. I also... How did you guys feel about the difficulty of the minigames? Personally, like, even though I just said that about the freaking number puzzle, I found them, like, there was a couple times I was like, wow, that was really, really easy. Like, with the whole, like, I'm thinking of, like, in specific, like, with the, and I can't think of where this is, with, like, the runes. Oh, it's in the first level, I think. Where it's with the runes, and you have to turn on the switches and, like, push the blocks. Like when I first saw them, I was like, oh, this is going to be extremely complicated. Like, I'm going to have to like turn them around. But no, you just push them to the end of the line and then flip the mm-hmm. switch, and that does it.
Yep. That's how I was like, okay, well, this is interesting, but I don't even feel like it's a puzzle anymore. More yeah. just like twiddle your thumbs for 5 seconds and then yeah. you can push the button.
Yeah.
Which, like,
yeah.
It kind of feels like they kind of think that we're stupid.
Yeah, I don't, and I just wonder if they're, like, I wish I knew, like, to me it almost seemed like that they were, like, you know, targeting it towards younger people.
And see, that's, I was trying to debate, like, if it's supposed to be for a younger crowd, but I feel yeah. like that the... Because, like, I don't even think that it's a deal about, like, talking about potentially abusive parents is, like, something you shouldn't talk about with young kids, because it is. You should mm-hmm. talk about it. Mm-hmm. But I feel like just, like, even the jokes and the humor that they were making in the office building, not that it would be inappropriate yeah, for kids, but that true. It would just be, like, maybe not stuff they would be familiar with.
Exactly. You would almost have to be familiar with that environment in some mm-hmm. way.
Unless it's supposed to be a game you should play with your kid.
Yeah, but then, like, if it's a game you're playing with your kid, like, usually they wouldn't be doing the puzzles, usually.
Or it would be two-player.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, no, yeah. That's a good point. Yeah, so, I don't know. I mean, maybe they just don't think that puzzles should be... But I agree with your thoughts on, like, it doesn't seem like a puzzle if you're just pushing a block to the end of the row and then, like, flipping the switch. Like, there's nothing for me to figure out. Like, other than, like, I have to move these blocks. But, yeah. And it's, like, I don't think that they were, I don't know. Like, it doesn't seem to me at least, because I watched their streams a couple of times as they're, you know, creating it. And it doesn't seem like that they're thinking that their players are stupid.
Mm-mm,
they're yeah. very intelligent developers. But I think it might just be like they just want to focus on the story and are just mm-hmm. like, well, we need puzzles. That's what these games have, or like these little puzzles.
Yeah. And it's very possible that these are placeholder puzzles until the final version is out.
Very true. Very true.
Because there was, like, in the Animus version, I kept getting to a, I would stand inside the fairy ring, and then it would fade to black, and it would wake me up in, I don't know, wherever the cave thing was. And there would be a puzzle that was actually, like, impossible to solve because of either something that I hadn't done or something that wasn't in the game yet. And I'd have to exit out of the game.
Oh, gosh.
And but it was, like, it felt like a placeholder.
Versus
these, which actually, like, had a solution but still are, like, two steps done.
Yeah, that's so. That's very possible.
So, were there any moments in the first part of the game, like, specifically at the house and right after that, before you get to, like, the office building, that stood out to you or that you liked more than others or that really kind of hit a chord with you? I would say for me, like, again, it was, like, the whole, like, reveal of the father, you know, the possibly abusive father.
Or at least neglectful at very minimum.
Exactly. And the house was kind of in shambles. But then again, I'm not really sure, like, how this game is going, if the house is in actual shambles or if it's just, like, a representation of lore and the whole situation. Yeah, but that whole thing, and then, like, you know, the dog. I mean, it was just, it was very traumatic. Like, it was a very traumatic first level, like, right out of the gate, which kind of surprised me and kind of was like, oh, God, this one's going to, like, tear me up.
Yeah.
You know, but I was kind of, I mean, honestly, like, I was kind of glad that there's only as much done as there is because, like, you know, it's a nice breather.
Because I was ready. I was like, okay, going to be like, maybe based on this, maybe like a 4-hour game.
Yeah.
Get your chocolate ready.
Yeah. I was getting like there at the office building because because I had no idea like how far it was. You know, I had read that it was like three, like there was about 2.5 to 3 hours of content in the game so far. But I didn't know, like, what that meant. Did it mean that it was almost finished? That it was just, like, the ending that wasn't done? I didn't realize it was, like, a little bit less than half of the game. And so we got to, like, the office tower, and I was like, oh, man, like, I'm already 2 hours in. Like, I was getting towards the end of the office level, but I was like, oh, man. I was like, and there's still two other levels because I had seen them on the map, you know, on the little select screen. And I was like, oh, no. I was like, I've really screwed them over. Like, this is going to be like a 5-hour game. But, yeah, it wasn't. So, not yet. So,
not yet.
I was safe from the wrath of the game chatters. Anyone else have any, you know, things that kind of stood out to you in that first level? What did you like about the first level?
What are we talking about with the first level?
The first level is like the house. Yes. It's like up until you get to the select screen where you select the office building.
I'm trying to remember. I'll probably go back and try it, but. It seemed like you had the option to try to give Baron the not the socks, the garbage. You could put garbage in his bowl instead of dog. And
yeah, are you talking about like
in the very, very beginning when you had the option?
So you have the option. I didn't see that. It reminded me of that option towards the end of the second level, which we'll get to. But I didn't remember even having the option, but I must have just not have even noticed it.
Yeah. Or you might not have picked up the garbage.
Yeah.
Oh, I hadn't picked up the garbage yet.
Yeah. I clicked on the food first. So
yeah. If you pick up the food and the garbage, you have the option to put either the food in his bowl or the garbage. I'm going to see what happens if you do select the food. He's probably not going to be very happy. Or select the garbage.
Or it hurts him.
But I liked like that along with like other things where you have like those little tiny decisions of like some little humorous decision, like in the office, one of the things has
we're talking about first level, but we can talk about second level, I guess, too. Second level is the office.
I'm trying to remember what there was something in the.
You could turn on the oven, which I have no idea what that did. Did anyone turn on the oven?
Oh, I just saw that,
and I was like, no.
I turned it on just so that I could be like, oh, it's a fire hazard. And then later on, I'm not sure if it changed the later thing when you ended up having everything destroyed, where he's like, at least it's not a fire hazard anymore.
Well, that's what I was afraid of. I was like, I'm going to turn this oven on. It's like, this house is like a disaster area. Like, everything's going to burn down. Like, I'm going to, you know. And then I was like, well, maybe that's like with the Undertale, like, nightmare run. Mm-hmm. You know, like, that maybe you can, like, just, like, be a horrible person and just feed your dog garbage and, like, turn on the oven and, like, kill your dad. Out of the oven. And just...
I loved that the microwave remarked with the microwave. Oh, it's big enough to fit a head.
Yeah, that was interesting. I was like yes. going to a dark place. Yeah, for sure. I also liked the guy. What was his name? The guy with the books that rescues you.
What was his name?
With the cloak, he was cool. I liked the different. He could like read. I was surprised I could read like the books on his bookshelf, and it was giving me like this whole like history. And that's one thing I liked about these first two levels is there was a lot you could click on a lot of things and maybe not interact with them, but at least get information. Like at least like get either lore thoughts about them, or like you could click on books and get like excerpts from the book. I really like that. Like I really like clicking on things and hearing the character's thoughts or like something about the object. And I think it's important in games like this too, because you know it's so 2D that it definitely helps with immersion into the world to get a better idea of your surroundings and just like this universe.
Did you guys end up getting I'm not sure if it's gonna have any significance later, but the little tiny dog statue?
Yes. I did. Yeah,
because I was looking at everything in there. I found the breeding habits of chicks to be quite amusing.
Yep. As I said, I clicked on everything for the most part. Anything that wasn't like a wall or something that just did not look clickable. I got the dog statue. For a moment, I was like, it reminded me of like Always Sometimes Monsters. And I was like, are we collecting figurines again?
Is it the only decent mechanic in this game?
Can I sell these, please?
So I can eat.
So I can eat some food. Thank you.
The one thing that I hate about the figures in Always Sometimes Monsters was you didn't get an achievement for getting all of them.
I know. It's a rough life.
You didn't feel like it was an achievement just to do it? Like, you can't, like, be proud of yourself. You have to, like, have a badge to be proud.
Yes.
Having because... all the figurines wasn't enough. Yes.
This is why some people play video games. All right, so let's go ahead and move on to, I guess, level two, which again was the office building. Work time. This was an interesting level. Like, there were a couple of things that I wasn't too crazy about. Like, I wasn't crazy about the whole coffee thing. And then I thought that, like, throwing in, like, I liked the idea of finding the mementos that kind of reminded you of your past, but then I'm also like, why are they here? Like, are these like things like that my, you know, I mean, it seemed like it was things that reminded him of his mother. Mm-hmm. But then also it's like, you know, I found like one of the, like a piece of jewelry at the gym, you know, like why, how, I don't know. But, I liked going to the different, like the cafe, the, you know, the cafe was cool. But I especially liked talking to, like, well, you don't really talk to them, but like, you know, seeing what the workers have to say and hearing their like industrious or like inspirational quotes, which is like, it was almost like reading just a bunch of like, of email, like sign off quotes, like the quotes that people put like at the end of their emails, sometimes said by Benjamin Franklin, sometimes it's said by like, you know, Gandhi. But yeah, that's what these reminded me of. Either that or they were just fun. Like you had the one guy who was really into anime and he was wearing the hat. He was wearing like the baseball cap, which what was that from? Like, was that from anything specific? Was it Pokemon?
I don't remember.
It looked kind of like Ash's hat, but maybe I'm wrong. They also threw in like, it was that one, like a few references to things. Like they had one where you find a label maker in a drawer. And I don't know if this is what they were referring to, but you find a label maker in one of the desks. And it says you find a label maker, it's not called a label maker though. It's called a label. You find a labeler, think the maker, which could be either because it's a label maker or in Dragon Age, they say think the maker. Like, they refer to the maker a lot. So I don't know. Maybe I'm stretching. Maybe I just love Dragon Age. But, you know.
This is a Dragon Age chat.
Gosh darn it. To wait until January. I feel like there was another one, too. Oh. There were just so many fun things with the office workers and finding in their drawers. And then you get up. Go ahead, Kevin.
Oh, the one guy has... all spoon. The one guy has tons of spoons. Another person has tons of hot sauce packets.
Yes.
Someone else has like 50 pens in their desk.
Because
and then you can choose whether or not for their tower corp property.
Oh yes. Did anyone say yes? I said no.
I said no.
Yeah.
Choose whether or not to what?
It was propaganda
for the company.
Yeah, it was something so about
join loyalty of the company or say no. Yeah.
When was that?
You found it in a desk.
That's like the first desk.
Yeah, I didn't look in that many desks, so that's
probably. I looked in all of them. I talked to all of them. You were also
looking for the duck.
I looked. No. I did that before I looked for the duck. I had talked to everyone and looked in everywhere. And then I had to find the duck and I looked everywhere again. But yeah, they were just, and then like, but you know what? Like, yes, it's weird that there were 50 spoons in a guy's desk, but you know what? When you work in an office setting and you have a desk, that's what happens. Like, I'm not even like over-exaggerating.
Why are you stealing 50 spoons from the cafeteria staff? But
it just happens. Like, I'm serious. Like when you're cleaning out your desk or like when you're looking through your desk and you're like, holy goodness, why do I have like 20 ketchup packets? What is happening here? But, or you find like 5 boxes of paper clips. True story. I'm like, this is excessive, Stephanie.
I would love 5 boxes of paper clips. I always have to go steal from our secretary.
And I like how like they give you promotions because you're not doing your job well. They're like, hey, you don't like, you know, you did a horrible job. Let's promote you to manager. You know? Oh my goodness.
Anything else, clearly you must be management material.
It was like, oh my goodness, are you management? You must be. And then they send you up to management. You have more desks to look at with a lot more things.
But no burbs patrolling the hallway.
No, exactly. And bigger offices, which that's real to life.
Yep. It was wild how like you had to go to a different place to do a job because you have been transferred, but you actually can't be in the hallway because security birds will get mad at you.
Yeah. Can't like, be loitering.
Stop. Yeah. Stop.
Yeah, can't be loitering. Gotta, you know, gotta watch out the people who are actually, like, you know, sitting in their cubicles not doing their job.
Mm-hmm. So the thing that I didn't do that some people did was drink the water or the coffee.
Oh, I just drank the sink water.
What does it do?
You end up fainting, and Binder is now talking to me.
Interesting.
And he's asking, you have the voice in your head saying, "Don't tell him you found the book."
Hmm.
And interesting. You can either tell him that you found the book or you didn't find the book. Well, the artifact.
Mm-hmm.
Which is basically looks like the Necronomicon.
Yes. Less teeth, but yeah.
It's the eye part of it, more so. But yeah.
Yeah, it reminded me of something else, too. But I can't think of what it was reminding me of at the moment. I was just like, that looks super familiar that I've seen from somewhere else. Maybe it's the Necron... you know, whatever.
Pretty much any fantasy game or story usually ends up having some sort of book with like an eyeball or mouth or something.
No, it's kind of you know,
trope.
Well,
yes,
but yeah.
Also, someone, like shorthand for storytelling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you guys any other like favorite moments from the second level?
I really liked the character designs in the second level. Mm-hmm. I loved how everyone was reptiles, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
Lizard people. Say hello to the floor, lizard paper.
Because I think in your first, like in that first office before you hit the code to get out,
mm-hmm.
that's if you're like, you can find a sketch with lizard people on it, and you're like, oh, okay, this is just somebody's doodle, and then everyone is a lizard person in the office. And it's like, oh, all right, awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it was super interesting. And just I think, you know, and the level design was very simplistic, but also very kind of like, ethereal? Is that the word? Like, you go through some of the hallways and it has like the floating paintings, which I thought were really cool.
Mm-hmm.
I was really hoping that they were like a doorway to somewhere else, but they were not. Only in my heart they were.
See, yeah. I was thinking about that, like possibly a door to somewhere else, but then I also thought about all those you know, all of the encouragement posters and stuff like that there are everywhere. Mm-hmm. And I was like, is that just what this is? Like, is this just like a picture of a thing that could be that you don't actually ever get to have?
Sure. Yeah. There were a lot of like, is alliteration the right word in this level of just like office life and
illusion, maybe? Alliteration's like everything the same letter.
Then no, that's not correct then. Illusion, sure.
References.
Spoofs. Yeah. To just like office life, and I mean, not even like in like a funny haha. I mean that as well. Like some things were actually like I laughed at, but then also some things I was like, oh yeah, like that's like. And I think just like I think again, like hearing all the office workers, like pretty much for the most part, 75% of them gave you like inspirational quotes, like mm-hmm. live today because you know. And I'm thinking, gosh, that's kind of like, it's kind of like what it's like being in like a menial job where you're doing the same thing day in and day out and you're not happy. Like, you know, that's kind of how you survive is you keep like motivating yourself to like, it's going to be better. Like it's going to get better. It's going to get better. And, or, you know, and then, or even like, even to the point of like saying these motivational quotes to like other people, but then not following them yourself, you know?
Yeah.
So there were a lot of, it was kind of like, you know, there were some things I found funny and there were some things I was like, I found really, I guess, real. which is clever for the writers and for the developers. So it's so like at the end of the office level, you know, after you find the mementos that remind you of your mother, you remember, you know, and we're back to like, you know, because this whole level was kind of like fun and interesting for the most part. And then you get to this where you have a memory of like when you were younger back at the house and you hear your mother who hasn't been shown or even, I don't think, mentioned up until this time, up until like finding the mementos. Or I think like maybe there was a flashback that the father mentioned something about the mother maybe. And that, and that was the whole thing too, was the father was there at the office building and you kind of had these kind of visions, I think, of him being like, I didn't want you to.
When you get out, when you get out of the first room, the office room, then dad shows up and he says something to the effect of, she's here.
Yeah.
And he's like concerned for you because she, in quotes, is here. Which you don't really find out what that means until you start collecting stuff. Which I kind of, I kind of wish that we had seen any of that stuff before this level, because I felt until the final, when you collect the final piece and then you get the complete memory, I felt really lost as to why I was collecting jewelry and a purse and stuff like that. So, I don't know.
Yeah, I can agree with that. I mean, for some reason, I kind of assumed it was the mother from the purse, but that was like kind of a jumping conclusion. It wasn't really substantialized in anything with the story. How did you guys like that reveal? What are your thoughts on like the reveal of like the mother? I mean, if we, and it's interesting because like I'm also like not even sure if we can even believe everything that's happening, because I feel like it's from Lore's perspective, and I kind of just with different things that have happened and with the whole like, because for those listening, like not only with the text changing sometimes, but also like you'll see little flashes of like almost like a dark Lore. Like shadowy. And so at this point, like by the end of this level, you're almost, or at least I was almost like, I don't really even know like if I can even like think Lore's actually experiencing this, or this is something that's like, this is a breakdown. Like this is something mentally and emotionally that's happening to him. Which I'm leaning towards that, but then you're just like, well, I don't know what, even what to believe, like as far as Is the mother full to blame, and the father's just a just kind of recuperating and kind of like only dealing it with the how he knows how to deal with it, with the whole situation. Like post, you know, now that I guess the mother's gone, or maybe she was just away from the house in the beginning of the game. Who knows?
I got the feeling that the mother was like the alcoholic in the house.
Yeah, but it was the father that came to the door in the hallway. That's where I'm getting the father was kind of...
Okay.
Because it was the shadow of the father's face. It wasn't what it showed the mother's face. Yeah. Or at least in my game it was. I don't know.
I don't know. All I know is that at this point in the game, I like almost exited out because... Like at my stuff that I've been going through in my life, was it was almost like too real, and like just the mental abuse was just that was being portrayed in the game was just so like almost spot on in aspects and just like the twisting of words and stuff. It was just, it got to the point where I was like, I don't know if I can continue with this or not.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's powerful to be able to say that. I mean, that's showing that they're doing, I mean, unfortunately for you, they're doing something right and that it's pulling at something. There's a lot of heaviness. Go ahead, Malvin.
It was really interesting to see like a parent gaslighting a kid.
Yes.
Because like that's usually when you think of like somebody gaslighting somebody else in a relationship, it's usually like an abusive romantic relationship.
Mm-hmm.
But it's incredibly easy for parents to do that to children just for because sure. of the power dynamic. And for so sure. It was really sad.
Yeah.
But at the same time, really unsurprising to sure. see that happening.
Sure. Yeah. Like, I'm not even sure I've ever seen it happen. And we've played some pretty emotional games. And I don't think we've seen anything. We haven't seen, like, that happen, a parent gaslighting a child in mm-hmm. any of them. There have been, like, hinted or blatant abuse, but
mm-hmm.
Which could have just been, but they didn't, like, name and show it. But no, I agree. It was very powerful. And then, like, for those listening, the mother, so you're confronting the mother, and she's kind of turning your actions against, like turning your decisions against you. She's mentioning back, you know, she's like, well, you know, you fed the dog garbage. And she's pretty much saying that you killed Baron. That's what I got. And also that you killed your father too. She mentions that. And I'm like, I don't know if she means like, again, by this point, I was like, I don't know if any of this is figurative or if, like, this is leading up to, like, possibly me having done something that hasn't been revealed yet, you know? Like, maybe mm-hmm. something happened. I mean, we don't know this yet, for those listening. Like, this is all just assumptions by myself. You know, maybe we'll find out down the road that, like, something, you know, like, emotionally snapped with Lore and... you know, he might have did something. I don't know. But she's kind of making it sound like, which she doesn't seem like the type of character that you can trust. But she was telling me, for, you know, that like, you know, you fed the dog garbage. I'm like, I did not. I didn't even have that option. Nah-huh. Yeah. You know, in your face. But saying that I did things that like up to that, like I was like, no, that's not, I didn't do it. And like, even at the battle, she was like, you killed like, don't you remember? And she kind of, that's when it's revealed that Baron was the monster you fought or, you know, whatever.
Yeah. Which I totally did not get until that point.
No, I didn't either. I didn't either. And then.
Except for me.
Yeah.
I don't know how to feel about that.
I don't know why. Like, and I think like, and I'm going to say like, I don't understand it, but then also like, we're looking at, I'm eating banana. We're only looking at like 25%, you know, not 25, but 40% of the game. Yeah. So even though I'm saying I don't understand, for those listening, I don't want you to think that like I'm saying that like this game is like, you know, I don't understand it. It's not finished yet. So there's plenty of time for things to be like revealed and, you know, planned out and possibly even go back and correct things, you know, mm-hmm. up until release date, which it's not scheduled, but they are actively working on it. So, but as of right now, with the information I have, I think that's kind of where you're supposed to be, honestly. I think you're supposed to be confused about who you can trust. I think you're supposed to be confused about what happened because Lore verbalizes his confusion. Like he's like, mm-hmm. I don't understand. Like, that's not what happened. Stop saying this to me. Because Lore is very aware of or at least in his dialogue, he seems very aware of the manipulation of his mother. Mm-hmm. From just him saying that like, you know, he kind of, or at least in the way that I answered things, like he seemed very aware that like she was manipulative. So yeah, it was a ride.
Yeah. And I think with having you be confused, I think think more fully recreates the feeling of being a kid in that situation. Yep. So if they want to just leave me confused and heartbroken, I understand.
Yeah.
I like it, but I understand.
Yeah.
I feel like, I hope this doesn't turn into a stories untold situation where it turns out to be like, I don't know, something kind of lame, and you're just going on this crazy mind journey thing and end up having a letdown of an ending.
What would be a letdown of an ending for you?
I don't know. Just finding out that, like, you got upset and ended up accidentally somehow killing Baron or something like that. And then you're just going into some, like, psychosis state or something. I don't know.
I think that could be done okay. It's just in how they, the reconciliation part, the ending, how it's resolved.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because so far, that's what it seems like.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I feel like I feel like once this game's completed, it's going to be one of those where you can look back, where you'll look back at, like, say these first two levels, or like even like the two levels that they're working on, Animus and Jotunheim. That's it. I knew it was it. Yeah. That you can look back and like see things and are like, oh, that was kind of alluding to this. You know, that was kind of like giving me a window into, you know, what lore had to deal with here. I feel like that they've carefully planned out a few things. So does anyone other than what we've kind of already discussed, kind of like what we kind of like assume, you know, hope or not really hope, but kind of like theorize might be revealed, or, you know, in like, what would you guys like to see in the levels that they're still completing?
I feel like answers. I feel like Animus, just from like, I didn't do a whole lot in Animus, but just from the idea that it's full of talking animals, like how should I say this? I will be disappointed if I don't find an alternate Baron in Animus. To have to talk to, and because it's, you know, that's kind of an anime trope, right? Is to find like your evil version of your friend and have to, you know, talk yourself out of why they're not your friend, or why your friend is better than this, or convince them that they really are good all along, something like that.
Yeah, it seemed very Rikuen of like that. I could see it. Yeah, I could see it becoming something to where it's kind of a representation of other things going on, which we saw that in level two with the office building, because that had to do with like his dad, his mom, maybe even like kind of just the pressure, you know, because I'm guessing what Lore might be 10 or 12 that's just an assumption. But you know, just kind of like the pressure of like, hey, in like 5 years, you're going to have to join the workforce, you know? Because I'm guessing like, kid in his situation, he's had to grow up really fast. And he even mentions that in level two. He says something like, you know, I knew something, I forgot how he said it, but something like, you know, I knew I was growing up fast, but I didn't think I'd be growing up this fast. Mm-hmm. As in like getting a job. Yeah. But, yeah.
Yeah. I hope they also the further levels also have as solid of an art direction as these kind of levels have had.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
because this game, I haven't played Undertale, but it's giving me Undertale vibes. But one of the things that's aside from other factors that has kind of turned somewhat turned me off from Undertale is the art style of it doesn't feel as consistent as this game does, and it also feels it also feels a little bit more bland compared to this.
Oh man, or Kevin, I think you just need to play Undertale, dude. You need to play Undertale. Like, but, yes, it's very simplistic, but. Yeah. The story, and
I feel like the what you're calling inconsistency is more like variety.
Yeah,
that you see in Undertale.
Yeah,
which you're not seeing here. I feel like because this art style is more level based versus in Undertale, where it's just kind of a diverse world.
Yeah, I think Toby Fox also ended up getting some people helping with art as well. But, yeah.
Just play it. Just play it, Kevin. just play it. Just take the time, dude. Yeah. I'm looking forward to playing more of this. And you know, and I don't know if I already mentioned it, but I do hope to, like, when it's finished, to place it into the schedule so we can and actually give it a proper review and score. For those listening, like, I didn't fully realize that this was an early access game. Like, I turned games off of the, like, I didn't put games on the poll because they were early access, but somehow this slipped through. Maybe it's like the universe. Maybe we were supposed to talk about this. I don't know, but somehow, some way, an early access game slipped through, got voted on, put on the schedule without me noticing that it was early access. So. Here we are. Yeah, I enjoyed what I played, and it's gotten my interest peaked, and I didn't even hear about this game before, like, we were voting on it in the polls to play. So yeah, I'm happy about it. And you know, as I said, like, the developers stream, gosh, almost nightly. So, you know, I plan to check them out and drop in, watch the progress. But any other final thoughts for this?
Looking forward to the final thing.
Absolutely. All right. So, Chris.
No, just agreeing.
Just what?
Just agreeing.
Just agreeing. Okay.
Lizard people rule.
Lizard people rule. Absolutely. All right, so next week for September the 17th, we are starting the Fall to Unbound, and that's a two-weeker. So, that's a two-weeker. Okay, so we're going to be playing the first half for this week. Unfortunately, I have not played the first half yet, so I have no stopping point for you. Whoa. Okay. So I will be posting that within the next, like, hopefully 24 to 48 hours. Sorry, guys. That did not even cross my mind. Yeah. And then we also have our next month chat, which is in October. On October the 15th, we're talking about Layers of Fear 2. And that will also be our 175th chat. Chris? Woo!
Yes.
Yes. So that will be our 175th chat. And then we also, of course, if you're participating in Dragon Age Inquisitions, start or continue playing Dragon Age Inquisitions. You have until January, but if you're like me, I need to get back onto playing it. So if you want more game chat, you can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play Podcast under The Game Chat for all past and current shows. keep up to date on what's going on by following us on Twitter at @the_game_chat and search for us on Facebook at under Game Chat. Leave us a review or a question or a topic for our current game, and we might read it on the show. Email us those at chatwithus@thegamechat.net. If you want to join in on a chat, you can email us that at jointhechat@thegamechat.net. Or send us adorable pictures of dogs at notenoughdogs@thegamechat.net. Come back next Tuesday where we'll chatting about or starting to chat about the fall too. So until next Tuesday, thanks for listening and I'll chat at you later. Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye.